Take your copy of God's inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative, preserved Word of God in the English language, old King James Bible. Amen. Heard a guy on the radio, turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 while you're standing, please. Heard a guy on the radio this morning at a Sweetwater or something. He came on, he said, and now we have something, anyway, coming from the King James Bible. I said, amen. Anyway, Jeremiah chapter 6, when you find your place there, it's right after Revelations. If it's in a scroll going back around. I'm going to try to read down to verse 16. And these sometimes you can't get everything said exactly the way it ought to be here. But Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'm going to try to read down to 16. You follow along with me. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. And blow the trumpet in Tekoa. And set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakrim. For evil appeareth out of the north in great destruction. I will liken the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees and cast them out against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her, and before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate and land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Isn't the scripture encouraging? Verse 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And for the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Father, help us this morning to hear from you things that would be appropriate to get us to doing what we ought to do and being what we ought to be. And make yourself known to us. If someone here isn't a Christian, help them know how much we love them and you love them, and we desire to help them get that settled today. And someone maybe with hurts and heartaches and problems, maybe sins that have just overwhelmed them, help them to know that if they'll start today by doing the right thing, you can help them get victory over these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I titled this, Stand and Seek the Old Paths, and I've been around long enough to have heard a few messages from preachers preaching on the old paths. Brother Long, ever heard anybody preach on this text? I'm sure you have. You probably preached on it yourself and others. And so I knew that. And so I looked through all my books. I thought I would find somebody's sermon on the old paths and just sort of use that, but I couldn't find anything. So if I make a mess today, it's on my own. I couldn't find anybody's. I just went through some stuff I had. But I know what the Lord had put on my heart as I was been preaching and studying through Jeremiah for a while and trying to get some things here. First, I want to give you a little introduction here by the word path. And I talked about way and path just last week. Brother Gamble preached on the way, and I've always liked that through the Bible. Those are the way. We We are the way, the truth, and life. We understand that. But the word path from Webster's Dictionary, and there's many different definitions sometimes. This is one I like. It says, a path is a trodden way. A trodden way. In other words, when you talk about path, it's a way that's been trodden down. Now, I have been blessed to be raised in the South Central Kentucky as a hillbilly, and we had two or three paths around our house. There was a path to the outhouse. When I started dating Jamie in the 80s, I took her to visit my mom at the family farm, and after being there a few hours, she pulled me aside and she said, I've been all through the house. Where's the bathroom? I said, see that path down there? She said, take me home. I had to take her home. And then, because we were farmers, we had a path to the barn. And we milked cows and stuff like that, so there was a path. In my mind, because I was raised there, I can visualize that. We had a little old branch or stream or whatever you want to call it that we had to cross over. And after all the years living there, we never did anything besides put a rock in the middle of it. I mean, you know, why waste your time? But anyway, we would do all that, so I remember that. A trodden way, a path. And then we had a path to my friend's house, which was at first my grandparents' house. Now, we lived in this place called Sugar Grove, Kentucky, and here was our house. Our next door neighbor was Mr. Tynes. Next to him was Miss Beulah. I can't remember her last name. Yeah, Miss Beulah. And what was her name? Anyway, she lived here. She's not there now either. But then there was a country store, Al Montague's Grocery Store. And if you turn left beside it, it was a gravel dirt road. It actually went all the way back. And my grandparents lived back there. And when they moved out, some of my friends moved in there. So being the wise, intelligent person that I am, why would I walk all the way up that highway and turn up that road when I could go through the woods? So I could go through the woods. I had three fences to jump, three fields to cross, and then I'd be there. Well, over a period of time, I had wore out a path to their house. I could go up there and play all day or stay all day, and I got ready to go home at night. That path, I could follow it. I'm getting to the sermon, but I'm giving you an idea what this path is. Are you with me? A trodden path. I had two dogs. We had all kinds of dogs. We were hunters. We had coon hounds and beagle hounds. But we had house dogs or pet dogs. Not in the house dogs, but pet dogs. One of them was a solid black with a little white. I guess he's not solid, he's got a little white. He was black with a little white right here. And he was a terrier. Had them, you know, he was like this in the front, had the pointed tail and the ears. I know there's so many dogs out there nowadays, but anyway, he was a terrier, a solid black terrier. The other dog I had was his son by a beagle hound, and he was a mutt. He was a half terrier, half beagle. And I'm kidding you not, I got pictures of him. We called him Charlie Pup. Butterball and Charlie Pup. I named Charlie Pup, I didn't name Butterball. But anyway, and he was white like a beagle, had a little brown saddle on his back. His tail went up in the back, then bent. His ears, like the terrier, started up and then bent over like the beagle. I ain't kidding you. He was the awfulest thing you've seen. And over the years, he got run over two or three times. Some guy shot him. He got his eye shot out. And but that was my pup. But anyway, I could take Charlie Pup and Butterball, and I could take that path at night. And if it was a moonlit night when I get ready to go home, I would get the black dog, Butterball. I'd get her in front of me, him in front of me, and I'd say, okay, let's go home. And I would watch him on the path, the darkness. I could see the darkness on the path, okay? But when it was a dark night, I'd get the white dog put in front of me and follow the white dog down the path. And I got convinced as I got older, I could just jump those fences. But anyway, that was a path. And God is saying here to us, I know I'm being silly, but I'm not. I'm really getting you to see this. Another definition for the word path here is a course of conduct or a route. In other words, God's saying there's some things as Christians, and I know he's talking to Israel, and I'm going to bring that in a minute, but there's a path we should follow. You all with me? There's things we ought to just not vary from. I was at the airport in Knoxville waiting to pick up Jamie and Hannah and them the other day, and my brother is a security guard there, so I got there a little early and spent some time with him. And his son is graduating from Crown tomorrow night. And so we were talking, and I said, what's Ethan going to do? And he said, well, he asked me the other day. He said, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, you know, I'm graduating, da-da-da-da. You know, some of y'all may be going through it, ever gone through that. And my brother said, he was telling me the story. He said, Ethan. It doesn't matter to me and your mom whether you get a job teaching school or preaching or youth or you have to work at a service station or do whatever you work. But don't forget how you were raised and the values that we have in this family. And I thought, that's pretty good coming from my brother. And the point there is he's been raised on a path, a trodden, proven way. Don't get off of it. And so as we talk about this today, I know that I tend to go back to tradition, and we've got to be careful about not letting tradition override the Bible. You understand that. I know that because I was raised in the South and the things that I think, I know that when I got saved or so many things going on in my mind, when I talk about the path, a lot of times I'm thinking of things that happened in my life because in the 70s when I got saved, the preachers that I were under, they were old-fashioned, going-by-the-path type preachers. Y'all understand that. But even when I went back in my Bible and studying Israel, and that God would say this here in Jeremiah to that nation Israel, I looked back and I saw some things that parallel what we ought to be doing also. So number one, we're going to do this. Number one, we need to stay by the path or stay by the way and seek the path. And concerning salvation. Now, the first two I'll go pretty quick so I can get to the third point. But I thought about this. Even in Genesis, God tells us about how we're to be saved. From Genesis chapter 3 and with the seed of the woman to all the way to Cain and Abel, how one of them brought one and one of them had the blood sacrifice. All the way to chapter 22 where Isaac is a picture of Jesus Christ and Abraham takes him up there. You know what I'm saying? And we know the first 11 chapters God talks about creation and all those things. But what I'm getting at is this, even Abraham, it even says this in Romans chapter 4, that he was saved by faith, and so salvation has always been, from the beginning of time to now, salvation through Jesus Christ by faith. They were saved looking forward to the Savior coming. We are Savior looking back, but either way, it's the same Savior, Jehovah, the Lord. And so Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, the father of all people that are blessed because of him, and we could get into all kinds of study there. I mean, it's amazing. But he got saved by believing, by faith. Jacob, chapter 28, you read about Jacob. Remember, he's a supplanter. He's the one that's tricking his brother and all these kind of things. But he meets God on the road back to Bethel there, and Jacob's ladder. We talk about that story in Jacob's ladder. John 1:51, I believe it is, talks about a ladder from heaven and earth. And God says, anyway, he met the Lord. So he's saved. His name has changed to Israel. So what I want to say is this. I know I've said it before, and if I ever, and as long as I'm preaching, I'll probably keep preaching somewhere because I've watched it in 43 years. The pressure, peer pressure on preachers, peer pressure on people who want to succeed in the ministry, pressure from the devil, of course, but also from people, constantly gets people to get away from the clear gospel message to add something or take away something so that they can build crowds or reach people, and that's not right. You know, we hear a lot now about, they say so many a certain age, and I don't keep up with all the statistics, but a lot of them, kids are leaving churches when they get a certain age, they get out of high school, all those things. And you know, I've been studying, there's some debate about that. A lot of those people are leaving, never had anything in the first place. But the young people who are hearing the truth of the gospel and staying on a trodden path, a trodden way, that path, they can stay and serve God. Amen. I'd like to know what the difference is. I don't care if it's 2018, 2000 and however many more years we got, or 1900 and this or 1900 and that. When Jesus Christ came into your life and changed your life, you ought to be able to stay by Him and follow Him. And the 60s generation and the generation gap, these words we invent are all to the devil to get us. Listen, we are a family, both physically when you have a family and spiritually. And we're to stay by that thing. So number one, stay by the old path of salvation. I know this. I know there's words that we get all confused about. It's really simple, though, and I believe in repentance, and I believe in lordship. I believe in all these terms, so we're not going to debate that, but I'm telling you over and over and over again in the Bible, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, believe in the gospel message, you've done all those things. That is salvation. You're not going to ask Him unless somebody's tricking you into it, unless you're broke and God's wooing you and calling you and you're turning to Him. And so, and I know we can do more, but and I'm wanting so much to tell you about my salvation, but I'm trying to stay with my time here because I want to tell you, I'll hold off. Maybe I'll get in there in a few moments because I want you to see this. I want to stay, and I remind myself from time to time. I even get frustrated with God. Y'all probably don't do that. But me and my Heavenly Father have these debates all the time. Lord, I want to be just like I was when I first got saved. I mean, I wasn't afraid of nothing. I was excited about everything. Every day was wonderful. My prayers were being answered. I was reading the Bible. It was glorious and new. Did that happen to y'all? Maybe unless you were a little child or something. And man, I still like it. I want to keep that, the old path. And then I thought about number two, the old path as far as the Scripture's concerned. And I'm not going to teach a whole lesson on this today, and I'm going to be very kind. And I mean this. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. I believe people have gotten saved by not using the Authorized Version of the Bible because they've heard the truth of the gospel. I know people debate over that, but the truth is you can read or take a gospel tract and share the gospel and things like that. But here's my thing. That's because God's merciful. He's bigger than we are as an individual or as a church or whatever. But at the same time, God has one book, and we have it. And that's not being stubborn or old-fashioned in a wrong way. That's just staying by the proven, trodden path that God has given us. There is a route, a course, a trail, a tree, they're all the way back from the time it was first written. And by the way, nobody ever, since the apostles, has had the originals, which is what a lot of people make a big deal about. But we've got the original God. You know, I used to use this illustration. I used to say, "We the only place you can get the original is Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's original recipes and herbs and spice. It's the same as it was. But you know, they've changed that. It just doesn't taste the same. They've done something that grease to make it healthier. It's pathetic." And boy, and so I'm not mad or at people, and I don't think we'll ever reach people by being that way, and a lot of people don't understand why we're only this, and we need to be able to give them a clear understanding of it. But my question to a lot of them is, if this has worked for so long, why do you keep trying to change it? It's God's Word. And we could discuss that. It honestly can be very well explained. I just don't have time for it. I do want to share this with you on this same text about the old path of Scripture. Take your Bible, turn back to the book of Exodus. I'm going to use something out of Exodus a couple places and then Leviticus here in a minute. Go to Exodus 31, but let me mention that Exodus 20 is where you find the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5, you find them reset again, Deuteronomy 2nd, giving the law. But in chapter 31 and chapter 34 of Exodus, I want you to see this. And again, it meant a lot to me, may not to you, but 31:18. Moses is rehearsing this about the golden calf. He's talking about all this the Bible. But he says, verse 18, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God." Turn over to chapter 34, and then I'll try to get you what I'm trying to share with you. Chapter 34, verse 28 and 29. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4 that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at verse 28. "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets." You know, one set was destroyed, and God did it again, because you can't destroy God's word. And Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wished not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Now, so what are you saying, Brother John? I'm saying something's going to get me in trouble, not with y'all, but with myself, with God. Because I truly believe that when I open my Bible, it's not just a book. He said, and John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we could somehow, folks, visualize or realize or whatever, get it in our mind that when we read this, we are hearing from God Almighty. And we beat and browbeat and fuss and complain and trick and give out awards to get people to read the Word of God. And we talk about Moses coming down, his face is shining, and all these things that he did. I'm telling you, if we'll stay in that book right there, God can do that for us. Oh, it don't have to be the physical shining, all that stuff, but in the soul. And we talk about prayer when we enter into the prayer closet. This goes with it. See, I don't think you can separate them. When we go into the prayer closet, we enter into the throne of grace, and I understand all that, but we wouldn't know any of that from God. And when I pray and talk to God in my voice, God answers me through His voice. He may speak to my heart, but it's still going to always line up with the Scripture. And I think we should stay with the old path as far as the Scriptures. Don't be looking for something. Listen, it would be different if there was one or two things out there, but every month, every week, somebody comes out with something new, and it fits whatever it needs to fit. And I know they put the word Bible on everything anymore, Shooter's Bible, you know, this kind of Bible, that kind of Bible. You know, and we understand that's, we're talking about God's Word, the Scriptures. And they're not going to, listen, and our culture has changed so much that people want to have a woman's Bible, an African-American Bible, a Sodomite Bible, or this kind of Bible, and I don't want to put all that in the same category. I'm just saying this. That is the book for all those things and everything else because it has it in there. We've got the Word of God. Let's stay strong on that path. Stay on that path. Seek the old path. And I know, in my mind, I'm wanting to tell you about some old-time singing convention people I heard sing and the tent meetings we talked about last week, and maybe I've been in a reminiscent mood this week because of what I've been studying here. And thank God for it. But if we'll stay by the path, we can see it again. Number three, probably the longest point unless I change. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Hold your place there. First one is the old path, stand by the path of salvation. Number two, the old path of Scripture. And here's one called the old path of separation. This is where it's going to get good. This is where if I'm going to preach, it'll happen. If I'm not, it won't. I want you to think about this for a minute. Remember I said that Israel is talking to Israel and they had to go. We went back in Genesis, we found salvation. We went back to Exodus, we found the Scripture, Word of God. We went into Leviticus, and the whole chapter of Leviticus, and I know it confused a lot of people, but you got to think of it this way. There's so many things in there, the ceremonial laws, things that God has. God's dealing with His people, a nation. He's dealing with a nation that He calls them a holy nation, a chosen generation. He wants them to be separate from the world. Are y'all with me on this? He called Abraham out of the world. Moses went into Egypt and brought him out of Egypt, and they're to be different. And there's things they ought to do. And a lot of it has significance in picturing Jesus and the future to come and all those kind of things. And some of them may seem silly about plowing with an ox and a donkey. Don't do that. But if you think about separation, it makes sense. They're not the same. If you think they're the same, I want to buy a bunch of I want to buy a bunch of horses from you that have udders and horns and cows, you know. I'll eat them. But so God has all them things in there, right? Keep this ideal. Jeremiah, he's telling them, he said, I'm weary, this is what we just read earlier, I'm weary with holding back, God says. He's talking to Israel, His people. He said, you're spewing out wickedness. By the way, America, the land of the great, home of the free, the brave, and all that kind of thing, we have done so many wonderful things, still doing wonderful things. Thank God for all the churches that are all over the country in America and all the missionaries, but we are the leader in sending garbage out of the country. Pornography and evil thoughts and abortion, all those kind of things, we're leading in that. It doesn't even make sense. And God, if He could say it as a nation, He's also saying that to us. But as a church, definitely, we ought not be doing these things. The old path of separation. Leviticus talks a lot about separation. I know that in our Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. And you, if you want to go to a church and cause trouble, you go there and just start preaching that, and people get nervous. Because people like to be saved and yet do what they want to do. And God wants us to be a holy people. And I know that we all have different opinions and values and our lives are different. Thank God for the liberty to do all those things. But there's never liberty to do the things that God's totally said no. When I got saved, R.B. Adamson was the pastor, and you just have to know him. He was about 5'10", I guess, 5'9", 5'10". He wasn't afraid of, he might have been in his heart, but I never saw it on the outside. And man, I'm telling you. So all my life, I'd hear, when I'd go, my sister would get me to go hear him preach. I've heard some of this. He'd preach, and I'd always think, all he does is yell at you. You know, drinking's wrong. And back then, marijuana was wrong. Brother Ferguson, we mentioned that this morning. Now they're trying to legalize that. It was a gateway drug and all that. I mean, folks, listen to me. And I know some of you, by God's grace, He helped me so much, but I lit my cousins. All of them were involved in that period of time. And I saw that lead to LSD, and I saw some of them die on drugs. And I was a hillbilly country boy, so I can't imagine what it'd be like for people in the city. And it's still wrong. I mean, he would preach against that, and premarital sex or any kind of sex outside of marriage is wrong, and all those kind of things. And back then they were preaching about, listen, let me just say this and be patient. Don't throw rocks. Throw money. No, just kidding. But when they talked, and some of these preachers may have not handled it right, some of them may have been a little more brass, you know, whatever, those kind of things. But when they preached about dressing for men and women, I know it caused an uproar all over the country. But their logic behind it was this: God made them male and female, and if we don't watch out, it'll cause what's happening today. And it's proven true. And so we need to stick by the old past when it talks about separation. In Leviticus chapter 18, let me just read these things, verse 21. There's so much, I'm just giving you a few. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. You say, what are we talking about there? I'm talking about abortion. What they're talking about there is they would kill their babies. Their babies would be born and they'd throw them to the God of Molech, burn them in the fire and different things, and party while it's going on in their religious terms. And then he said in the next verse, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now somebody's going to say, well, Brother John, there's 30 different genders out there, and this world's different now, and people have, they don't know who they are until they get to a certain age and all that kind of stuff. And well, the problem with all that is that God knows who they are. And he made it pretty clear. I was kidding y'all the other day, and I told you I saved a kid. Some of y'all was here, heard that, and I was talking about a baby goat, a little nanny goat. Nanny means female, and you never know, you know, all that. I've got a couple of withers. That's boys that aren't boys anymore. So I guess I gotta go back and preach this, but anyway. But technically, any farm boy can look out in the field and tell you if it's a male or a female. A bull or a cow or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And so, but God is saying, He made it that way. Listen, God is not mean, God is not restrictive, God made it that way for order. So they wouldn't have chaos and confusion, which is what the world is doing to itself and churches are doing to themselves. People are deciding to go to churches that, well, I'm going to this church because they allow. Have you ever heard? Well, we go to this church over there because they allow. And they're going to say something that the Bible's against. We go over here because they don't mind women preachers. That's only allowed in your home. We don't go over here because they're not so condemning. They allow us to come in there and live however we want to live. Folks, listen, as a Christian, I don't want anybody to go to hell. You don't want anybody to go to hell. We want to do everything we can to be kind, courteous, loving, and tell them how to get saved. But allowing their sin to go on never gets them saved. Because there has to be a separation because He is holy, holy, holy. And we're to be separated unto Him. And our life has to be different. It doesn't mean you have to walk around with a halo. You heard about, was B.R. Lakin said, he said that woman said something about, she said, I just don't know when I get to heaven how I'm going to get my robe over my wings. He said, don't worry about that, honey. You're going to have a hard time getting that halo with them horns. Oh, B.R. Lakin, I did. First place, that's not even true anyway. You know that. We're not going to become angels. Oh, we need. I don't like people being preaching like me. I don't like mean, hateful things, but I do in my spirit want somebody to tell me the truth from the Word of God. And so separation, meaning set apart, there's so many things that once, listen, when we first got saved, my wife and I, probably in the early years of our children's life, they weren't allowed to do anything. They only breathed if they asked for permission. I mean, I mean, we got saved at she was 19, I was 22. I'm not saved, we got married, she was 19, I was 22, and we were raised in a fundamental church, and we were learning about God, and we were strong in what we believed, and we studied discipline, we knew to spank them, we knew all that kind of stuff. Back in those days, I hadn't even converted her. She believed candy was wrong. I would have to sneak candy to the kids. Anyway, but I mean, you know, we didn't have television, and I think that's a good thing. But of course, but we you know, all these kind of things. But then, I still believe a lot of the same things, if not all the same things. I'm just saying I might have got a little hard on some things because I wanted to be separated and unto the Lord. But now that I'm older and mellowed out, I still believe the same basic things. You can't live I might not be as mean about it, but you can't live a wicked life and expect God to bless you. You know, I don't have a problem, by God's grace, with drinking alcohol. I hope I said it right. I don't drink alcohol. I would have a problem if RC Colas ever became illegal by God. But I like them. Everybody has their issue. I've got mine, you got yours, but I'm amazed at how many preachers. I listened to one on the radio, it's been 3 or 4 months ago, one of the better teachers, saying, you know, I know this issue of alcohol and drinking, having a little wine with your meal, so I know it's a big issue. And he said, I just really, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about it. I thought, what Bible are he reading? I mean, this, and he's a good, from everything else I heard him say, is he just afraid to say it? But the Bible says, wine is a mock, or strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Look not upon the wine when it moveth itself aright. I mean, whoa, all through Proverbs. And people, and by the way, even if God's book doesn't say the exact words, when something causes people to do the things it does, it's not right. So, I'm just, and I know the pornography, the it's so rampant. I put my little car for sale down here. I don't know that this is where this come from or not, but literally, yesterday morning, I went to Hardee's on the way to Tractor Supply to get a post, and I pulled through there and I ordered my normal sausage and biscuit, well done, and what you do is you take the sausage off, put your grape jelly on the biscuit, eat that, then the sausage, you got full course meal. But anyhow, I just want to help y'all out every once in a while. And it's so sad. I really don't want to say it. I got a text, ding, ding, you know, and I don't have my glass. I'm just sitting in my truck. I'm not driving. Fixed to eat that sandwich. And pulled a phone. I seen a number I didn't recognize. So I hit the, and you know I'm not real good at this. I hit the thing, text thing. Figured maybe somebody from my car. A picture of a nude woman come on my text. I've never had that happen before. I had to quickly remember how to delete that. And I deleted it off there and put it back down. I've been bothered about it all, but I thought, and I went home and told my wife, I said, Jamie, I remember getting a couple of seen phone calls back years ago when I first started pastoring. I said, is this what it's coming to now? You can't even answer the phone afraid of what you're going to see. It was from an iPhone. It said from my iPhone, had a picture I saw. And I got rid of it as quick as I could. But I'm just saying, it's sick. So if I seem like I'm gentle to some people, I'm saying, stay with me a minute, because I'm trying to help you men help each other. Men, ladies, have a problem with this just because they're men. It's the way God made them. And these young men are going to have a problem with that. But when they feed that stuff to you, and every kind of show, and every kind of TV, and everybody says it's okay, and everybody's, that's crazy. We got to fight against that and argue against that, but at the same time, love the sinner. So, the old path of separation doesn't mean that you go out here and you're crude, rude. It doesn't mean that when you go to work and you have to work with somebody who's an atheist, it doesn't mean you lambast them. It means you live like God wants you to live. I know it's a different era, but I had an atheist friend when I was in the military. When I say a friend, we became friends because we're there. We were both tall and always wound up being the same thing there. I would pray in the basic training all the time. They got to where they'd ask me to pray. Brother Tommy? I guess that's Southern, what it was. You know, we'd do all of our stuff, and it'd be time to go to bed at night, and you bunk 80 guys in there. And I don't know if they did it now then, but they did then. They had, all right, somebody want to pray? So we got a Catholic and a Protestant. Well, I'm a Baptist, but I said, I'll pray for the Protestant. So the Catholic prayed. And I'm not making fun of, well, I am making fun of them, so I don't want to lie. But I'm sorry, but I mean, I don't mean like that. I mean, people can get saved, love God, but the Catholic, what they teach is not of God. It's not Bible. But anyway, so as a matter of fact, I remember finding him crying in a room. He hid in the closet crying one time because he was having a hard time. He wouldn't say. I tried to witness to him. Anyway, he would pray, and I'd pray. I think I was bolder back then. I am now, Brother Long. All right, John, pray. I said, all right. He just prayed. 80 guys. Dear Father, I am so glad we don't have to go through that rigmarole. I actually said that. I said, Jesus, I'm so glad you gave us in the Bible. And I went Romans 3:23, 6:23. I quoted the whole Roman roll while I was praying. And I said, whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was having guys we was having revival. I had guys say, amen, Brother John, pray it again. That atheist came up to me. He said, I don't believe in all that. I said, stick around me long enough, you will. You know what's happened, though? It's just the opposite. We're scared to death. I went to work in a place, and the guy first right out of high school, a place in Russellville, Kentucky, loading trains with carpet and stuff, and the guy was about 3 or 4 inches taller than me, looked like he was rough looking, big old beard. I met him, told him who I was, told him I was a Christian. I always tell everybody right off quick as I can. He said, well, you old last round around here, blankety, blankety, blank, blank. I'll have you blankety, blank, blank, cussing like blankety, blank, 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 cussing before you get out of here. What do you think about that? I said, if I stay here long enough, you won't be talking like that. You say, was you bold? No, I wanted to live for God. And I knew that I had to be separate and take a stand for God so they would know where I stood. Amen. Young people and old people and all people, they all ages, you don't have to be that bold. You just be honest and say, listen, if I don't take this stand, if I don't separate and get on this path, I'll be just like them. That's why so many Christians aren't where they ought to be, because it's not a matter of being bold. I'm not bold. It's a matter of I love the Lord and I have to put things in my life to keep me living for God. So many things in life may not necessarily be the most evil things in the world. When you talk about dress issues and what you watch on TV and what you listen to, and God gives you the liberty and be the liberty and all those kind of things. But just be wise enough to ask yourself a question. Which trodden way is it leading me down? Which path is it going to lead me on? If it's a path where I can still be found faithful, doesn't mean you're not going to have a battle or a fault or something happen, but we need to be on the old path. People need to see genuine Christians that ask people to forgive them when they get mad. If you say something at work you ought not say, you ought to go to those people that heard you say it and apologize. So listen, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have done that, but I smashed my finger. I don't know what it might be, and nobody's told me anything. I'm just telling you, I live in the same world you live in. I know this happens. I've met Christians when I've worked at secular jobs that said they were Christians. I believe they are, but I hear their language, and they come to me and say, well, we don't really want to talk this way, preacher, but it's just so hard. I said, I don't do it. I mean, God can give you grace not to do it. By the way, I've never heard, I'm closing with this. How they can cuss when they smash your finger. When I smash my finger, I go, I don't guess they smash theirs hard enough. Here's the deal. We're going to give invitation. Israel and today local church, the Holy God says, Israel, I want you to be my apple of my eye. I want the world to see you as my people. You are bringing shame on me. The nations around you and all the gods around you, that's how they act. It even says that in a chapter. That's how they act. You can't do that. You're to be different. Church, if every other church in this world If all the preachers and all the seminaries and all of them start teaching from different Bibles and start allowing different lifestyles that the Bible teaches are against and let people marry everything and all this garbage goes on and they keep saying drinking's okay and drugs are okay and MRI's okay and pornography's okay and on and on and on and on and on and just everybody does what they want to do in their own mind, we can't allow that to happen in our lives. We have to be separated unto Him because God's not pleased with that. And we're about serving Him, right? God's good. You bow your heads, please.